rising of the sun. Praise him for the going down of the same. Praise him because he is worthy to be praised. Blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. To Reverend Alicia Starnes, amen. And to all of the officers and family and friends of these two great churches, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text this morning can be found again in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And I want to lift up verses 14 through 15. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. And from the New Living Translation, it reads, Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." Amen. I want to share today from the subject of the silent participant. The silent participant. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, God, that in all of your awesomeness, your great glory, you decided to give us a time of visitation. And in fact, your word says, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" God, we are grateful that you are mindful of us. And we ask, God, that you would bless this time that we share together in your word, your power, and your presence. And I ask, Father, that you would anoint me afresh. Use me for your will and for your glory. Bless us now, God. And I pray, Father, that you would open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, for we want to see Jesus. Then open our hearts that we might receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. The silent participant. Amen. Some of us are quiet people, and some of us are folk that are not so quiet. Amen. Some of us know people that if you have a conversation with them, you won't get a word in edgewise. Amen. And then we know some folk that it's hard to get conversation out of them. And then when we talk about the silent people or the quiet people, amen. And I know folk have often told you, watch out for quiet people, amen. They claim to be dangerous, amen. Nothing wrong with quiet people, amen. And in fact, our text today shows us that we can learn a lesson from someone who is quiet or silent. And in fact, when we look at this text, you'll find that this donkey that's being used in the text doesn't utter a word. We say, Pastor, donkeys don't talk. Well, if you just go over to the book of Numbers, you'll find that donkeys do talk. Amen. Because one of the prophets found out that a donkey could talk when he found out that God had put a word in a donkey's mouth and told the donkey to speak to the prophet so that he could come to an understanding of what was happening during that time. When you think about the silence of this donkey, when you think about the silence that is taking place, yes, it's in the silence that we are taught something. It's in the silence that we are taught more than if someone were to open their mouth. There are a lot of times when you can just take a chance and be around people who are quiet, and you may learn something just by observation. And that's the reason some people are quiet, because they're learning by observation. Some people can just sit in a space quietly and just look around and observe and learn a great deal about the people that are they're in the space with. They can learn a great deal about what's happening in that environment that they find themselves in. So if we find ourselves in the environment of a parade, and as we find ourselves in this environment of a parade, we find that Jesus is riding in on a donkey. And as Jesus is riding in on this donkey, and as he's coming down the street, and the people are throwing the branches of palm branches out in front of him on the road, and John is one of the only gospels that tell us about the palm branch. The three synoptic gospels don't give us this palm branch information, but John shares with us that the people were throwing the palm branches out on the road. And while they threw them out on the road, they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Shouting for Jesus. Shouting because the one who is the Redeemer of the world is coming down the road. But our story picks up a little before that, when you find that Jesus has given his disciples the command to go and bring back this donkey, this donkey's colt, and bring it back. And he says, if anyone asks you, what are you doing? Just say, the master has need of him. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. When they went to retrieve this donkey, someone asked, what are you doing? And they said, the master has need of him. And they said, not another word. And they brought the donkey to Jesus. And here is where we find that this silent participant didn't utter a word, as far as we know, never made a sound. Amen. And in fact, because he was now in the service of Jesus, he finds himself in a very important assignment, but still not making a sound. And as he finds his way in the presence of Jesus, and he begins to allow Jesus to sit upon him, and as he finds himself now taking the journey with Jesus, but not uttering a sound. This silent participant. And in fact, some of us need to learn to be silent participants with God. Amen. Because some of us, we generate too much speech when it comes to doing the things of God. We generate too much noise when it comes to the things of God. And when I say too much speech and too much noise, sometimes we're too busy trying to talk God out of something that God wants to do. Amen. We're too busy trying to talk God into doing what we want to do, rather than just being a silent participant in the work of God. Let God be the one who dictates the work that is being done. Let God be the one who sets the course of the path that we take. And let God be the one to decide whether it's time or not time. We're too busy trying to talk him out of or talk him into what we want to do. But here we find that this donkey, this silent participant in Palm Sunday, teaches us how to fulfill our role of ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing that this silent participant teaches us is that, one, we've got to fulfill your role. You've got to fulfill your role. Accept the assigned role that God has given you. We just went through earlier part of the year the gift assessments, and we talked about the gifting that God has given each of us. But each of us has to learn to accept the role that God has given us. Whatever that role may be in the body of Christ, we've got to learn to accept that role. But many of us still have not accepted the role that God has given us. And they'll say we haven't accepted because we haven't begun to walk in it fully. We step in and we step out. We tip a toe in and then we take a toe out. Amen. We act like the water's too cold for us to get in. But we've got to learn that when we began to walk with God, when we began to do the things that God has called us to do, we've got to accept the assigned role that God has given us. And here's what this silent participant, this donkey, teaches us. He accepted the role that he was given. His role is very simple. Just go and allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to ride in to the city on your back. You don't have to do anything special. Just take a walk with Jesus. And sometimes we get caught up trying to think that we got to do something special. Maybe we just need to take a walk with Jesus. Maybe we just need to allow Jesus to walk with us just for a little while. And we can find that he wants to do some great things through us. And he wants to use us in some great and mighty ways. But sometimes it simply starts with us accepting the assigned role that God has given us. He's given each of us a role. He's given each of us something that we ought to do. He's given each of us something that we ought to be beneficial at doing in the body of Christ. But if we are not accepting the role that God has given us, how do we ever expect the work to get done? And in fact, what happens in many churches, you have a whole bunch of folk doing nothing when you have a few that are wearing all of the hats. Hallelujah. And especially in a small church like ours, it's difficult to get all of us active at one time. Amen. Because we wear so many hats. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God, we got hats to wear. Thanks be to God, he's given us assignments to do. Thanks be to God, we still have opportunity to be of service to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it starts with us accepting the role that God has given each of us. And not only accepting the role, but don't look for a bigger role until you learn to walk in the role that God has already given you. The donkey teaches us that he didn't have to have a grand role. Even though he's riding Jesus on his back in this parade of Hosanna, even though he's riding Jesus through the town, he didn't look for a bigger role. He didn't start prancing down the street like a stallion. He just maintained who he was. Hallelujah. He stayed a donkey. Hallelujah. Many of us would have tried to be a stallion. Many of us would have tried to be this grand white stallion riding through the city with a king on our back, and we wanted to act like we were the king as well. But this donkey simply accepted his role as being a servant to the Savior. And when you understand, he didn't look for a bigger role. He just played the role that he was given. A lot of times we're looking for a bigger role when we just need to play the role that we've been given. Play the role that God has assigned us. Play the role that God knows that will be good for us. Play the role that he knows will be beneficial for the church. And he had this great role of carrying the king to the people. Don't you know you got the same role? This donkey may not have ever spoken, but you've got the same role, and that is to carry the king to the people. And as you carry the king to the people, it's your assignment to make sure that the king is represented well when you carry him to the people. You see, the donkey was considered to be a beast of burden. He was considered to be an animal that would be used to take the burdens of man. And it's the same role that we have, is to be able to take our people to the king. And as the king is being taken to them, that they are able to have their burdens lifted, because we are also just like Jesus, the donkey. We are to take Jesus to the people and allow him to be the burden lifter that they need. The scripture says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we learn to take the people to Jesus and learn to bring Jesus to the people as they need him, and as we learn to do so, we are able to help them to find the help that they need. We're able to help them find the burdens being lifted off of them, the burdens that they're carrying, the burdens that are too heavy. Don't you remember what it was like when you were carrying your burdens? Don't you remember what it was like when you were burdened down and everything just felt so heavy on you? Life just seemed to feel so heavy on you. But then Jesus came into your life. When you felt everything was a world against you, when you felt like there was nobody on your side, but then Jesus showed up in your life and showed you got a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Don't you remember what it was like when you just didn't know which way to turn, but then somebody told you about Jesus? Somebody brought Jesus into your life and he began to change your life. He began to turn things around for you, all because one day somebody decided to bring Jesus into your life. Somebody decided to introduce you to the King of King. Somebody decided to introduce you to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And because they introduced you to Jesus and you accepted Jesus for who he was, the Lamb of God that would take away your sin, the Savior, the one who will redeem your soul. And as you accepted Jesus into your life began to change and transform. All because somebody fulfilled their role. But are you fulfilling your role? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you just like this silent participant? Are you just like this donkey and simply doing what God has asked you to do? Nothing more and nothing less. Just simply doing the will of the Father. And Jesus did the same thing. He simply did the will of the Father. He simply did what God had called him to do. Jesus could have done a whole lot more stuff. He could have done some show enough grand thing. But he simply did what the Father had asked him to do. He fulfilled his role. But not only must we learn from this donkey that you got to fulfill your role. We also learn from this donkey that Jesus is the one we celebrate.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, I already know that, Joan. Jesus is the one we celebrate. But here's the thing. When you watch in your imagination Jesus coming down the road, and as everybody is celebrating Jesus, it would have been real easy for that donkey to start acting up right then. To draw some attention to himself. And in fact, if we were that donkey, maybe that's when we would have showed out. Hallelujah. You know, we want the attention. We want to grab some of the attention that Jesus seems to be getting. We're coming down the road with Jesus. Everybody's shouting for Jesus. But what about me? Don't I get a little shine too? What about me? Don't I get to floss a little bit? What about me? Well, we got to understand that it's not about us. It's about Jesus. He was the celebration. He was the one who was to be celebrated. However, he did not become the one to be celebrated. This donkey was in the celebration, but he didn't become the celebration. Imagine that you're in the celebration with Jesus, and your responsibility is simply to carry Jesus from point A to point B. But how many of us would have got involved and began to do something to bring a little attention to ourselves? Amen. You ever been in, well, maybe some of you never been in a parade, but if you ever been in a parade with a little child and they'll find out all they got to do is wave a little bit and they can get some attention, what do? They waving their little arm off. And they smiling, but they fail to realize maybe it's not about them. Hallelujah. But many of us might have been like that lady on the float, you know, Miss America, and we got our little hand cupped just right, and we just was waving. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And that's what this donkey teaches us, is because it never was about him. It was about Jesus. It was never about him being celebrated. It was about Jesus being celebrated. It was never about him getting shouts. It was about Jesus getting the shouts. It was never about him taking the attention from Jesus, but just simply fulfilling his role and making sure that God used him the way that God wanted to, and that he did exactly what he was called to do. Because it wasn't about him getting any shine. It wasn't about him getting any popularity. It was simply, I'm going to be in the service of the Lord, and God, you can use me as you will. God, you can use me because I'll do exactly what you called me to do.
Hallelujah.
But he didn't take away from Jesus. He let Jesus be celebrated.
Yes.
Now, again, if that donkey was most of us, we'd have been kicking high. Hallelujah. And the thing about this that makes this, some, you know, sometimes donkeys are considered to be stubborn animals.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, the truth be told, some of us are stubborn too. Amen. Some of us, if we don't get our way, we're going to be problems. If it don't go the way I want it to go, it's going to be some issues. You think I had an attitude before, don't let me get what I want. You're going to really find out I got an attitude. But for whatever reason, this donkey in this moment was totally, totally okay with doing whatever Jesus needed him to do. It wasn't a stubborn bone in his body in this moment. He didn't sit down on Jesus and refuse to move. I'm going to say that one more time. He didn't sit down on Jesus and refuse to move. In case you missed it, some of us sit down on Jesus and we refuse to move. We sit down on Jesus and we refuse to go. We sit down on Jesus and we refuse to share. We sit down on Jesus and we refuse to say hallelujah. We sit down on Jesus and we refuse to do exactly that and clap our hands and pray. We sit down on Jesus rather than doing what God has called us to do.
Lord have mercy.
This man knew, or this donkey knew, that Jesus was the one who was to be celebrated. He knew that Jesus was the one who it was all about. He knew that Jesus was the one. The reason that he was there is because Jesus was there. If Jesus wasn't coming through, then he would have no need of being there. But thanks be to God, he had a purpose in being there. And that purpose was to make sure that Jesus got all the glory that he was to give. And that's our job too, is to make sure Jesus gets all the glory that he's supposed to get. Make sure that Jesus gets all the praise that he's supposed to get. If God uses you in a miraculous way and a great way and you are able to bless somebody, give the glory to God. If God uses you in a way that blesses somebody's life to the point that they looking at you like you're some kind of hero, don't forget to give glory to God. Tell it wasn't me, it was my Father in heaven. It wasn't me, it was Jesus working in me. It wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit working through me. It wasn't me, but it was God that was doing it. It's God that made the way. It wasn't me, it was God.
Hallelujah.
We always give God the glory because God is the one who makes it possible. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I know quite well, if it had not been for the Lord moving in me, if it had not been for the Lord using me, if it had not been for the Lord guiding me, I was amazing. Yesterday, I was just thinking about it as I was sitting there in the pulpit. And here I am. This boy from Fairview Homes, sitting with doctors, theologians. Who would have ever thought that God would put me in a place like that? But if it had not been for the Lord, here I am sitting next to the president of Hood Theological Seminary. But if it had not been for the Lord, here I am being asked to be on a program in a conference level. But if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't give credit to anyone else but God, because it was God who brought me here, and it was God who's going to keep me here, and it's God who's going to take me the rest of the way. I don't give credit to myself, because I know if it was me, then I would have surely messed it up. I'm not going to give credit to anyone else but God, and I'm going to be just like that donkey. I'm going to be a silent participant, and I'm going to keep going where God leads me. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. I might not open my mouth a lot, but I'm going to get used by the Lord. Why? Because I know where the glory needs to go, and that glory needs to go to the Father. The glory needs to go to the Son. The glory needs to go to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give glory where glory is due. I'm just going to be a participant going down the road of life and letting Jesus use me along the way. I'm just going to be a silent participant going down the road of life, going where God leads me, going where God guides me, and doing what God has called me to do. And if that's all that God ever asked me to do, I'm not going to look for a bigger role. I'm just going to play the role that God has given me.
Hallelujah.
When we understand that God is the one to be celebrated.
Yes.
Jesus was the one to be celebrated. You know, they got some people in Hollywood, and sometimes they have what they call small or minor roles in movies or shows sometimes. But they have these people they call scene stealers. And what they do is they do their scene so well that their scene sticks out in the movie. They stole the scene. They may have been in the scene with somebody that had a bigger name, but they stole the scene. They may have been in the scene with somebody who's more popular, but because of the way that they did their role, they stole the scene. Well, I'm here to tell us today, let's not be scene stealers, but let's just play our part. Let's just blend into the background and let God do his work. And as he gets celebrated, as he gets the glory, as he gets the honor, he's the one who steals the scene. Jesus has always got to be the scene stealer in our life. Jesus has always got to be the one who gets the glory out of our life. No matter where we go, no matter what we do in life, we got to make sure that we help people to understand and know that the only reason that I am who I am is because of God. The only reason I have what I have is because of God. I know that I'm not so smart. I know that I'm not so rich, but God has blessed me greatly. He's blessed me with everything that I have. He's blessed me with something that I've lost a lot the way because of my ignorance and my stupidity. But if I learn to lean on Jesus, I find out that I can hold on to some things that he's blessed me with. But when I try to do it myself, I mess it up every time. And I'm grateful and thankful that God has blessed me. I'm grateful and thankful that I got enough sense to give God the glory and to give him the praise for all the things that he's done in my life. Jesus is the one we celebrate. But not only do we fulfill our roles, and now Jesus is the one that we celebrate, but we've got to present Jesus for who he is. When you begin to share Jesus with other people, when you begin to allow him to get the glory out of your life. Make sure that you let them know who he really is. Make sure that they know that Jesus is the one who brings peace into our lives. I can only speak for myself, but you may have the same testimony. I know that there was once a time in my life when I didn't have peace. I thought I had joy, but what I had was some called happiness, because it depended upon what was happening in my life. But I learned that there's a thing called joy. And then I learned there's a thing called the joy of the Lord. When you can have the joy that God brings into your life. I don't care what's happening because I've got joy. I know things may not be the way that I want them to be in my life, but I've got joy. And all because God has given me peace. And I not only have peace, but I have peace with God. That is the greatest thing that you can ever do, is get peace with God. That means that you're not at war with God. That means that you're not enemies with God anymore. But you and God are close friends. You and God are one and all. Because you and God are walking together. You and God are going in the same direction. Because you've got peace with God. And then when you learn to have peace with God and you get the peace of God, well, you can go out into the world and nothing will bother you because you've got the peace of God. And you've got that peace that surpasses all understanding, all because the one who is the Prince of Peace has walked into your life. And when we present him as the Prince of Peace, the one who can bring peace into a terrible situation, the one who can bring peace into a storm, the one who can bring peace into a midnight hour, that is the one that we present to them. That is the one that we show the world, that he is Jesus Christ. He is the one who can give you ultimate peace. But not only do we tell them that he is the one who brings peace, we got to tell also that he is the source of victory. Yes. Every victory you won in your life is because of the Lord. Amen. And some of you, I had a few victories on my own. You know, you had some mess on your own. You cuss somebody out, that's not a victory. You got somebody straight, that's not a victory. It's when you can have peace and be at peace with them because you got the peace of God. That's victory. When you ain't got to retaliate, but you know that everything's going to be all right, that's victory. When God fights your battles for you and you don't have to lift a finger, that's victory. When you understand all of that, then you got sure enough victory right there. You don't have just some stuff that you're doing and you got some satisfaction. There's a difference between the satisfaction and victory. Satisfaction is momentary. Because if they say the wrong thing again, you're going to be right back to where you were. If they do the wrong thing to you, you'll be right back to where you were. But when you got victory, it doesn't matter what they do. I've got peace. It doesn't matter if they say the same thing again. I've still got peace. I got victory in that moment. Because nothing will bother me. I know who they are. I know who's working behind them. And because I know that, and I know that God has already given me the victory, and I'm fighting from a position of victory and not a position of defeat. I know that I am the victorious one because the victorious one lives on the inside of me. He is victorious because it was preached long ago in the book of Genesis that he would be the one who would crush the head of the enemy. And it would only bruise his heel. And because of that, I've already gotten the victory. The victory has already been given to me from the foundation of the world. All I got to do is just keep walking in Jesus. And as I keep walking in Jesus, I'll eventually walk in that victory that he's already promised me. And if you haven't looked, go to the end of the book. And it declares that we have victory there too. That we come out on top and not beneath. That we become the head and not the tail. All because we belong to Jesus Christ. All because we accepted by faith the Son of God, and if we accepted him by faith into our lives, he redeemed us, he set us free, and he washed us by his blood. And because of that, we have a right to the tree of life. Because of that, we have a right to eternal life. Because of that, we will be in glory with our heavenly Father. All because he is the victorious one, and because I walk with the victorious one, I can walk in victory too. The donkey was riding in victory because he had victory on his back. The donkey was riding in peace because he had peace on his back. And when that donkey understood that I'm presenting to the world the one who is the promise keeper. He is the promised Messiah.
Don't you know that God is so good that when he gives a promise, he doesn't have to worry about it failing. Once God gives us a promise, it will come to pass. Once God gives us a promise, it will be fulfilled. All you got to do is keep living. And you look at people like Abraham. Abraham had a promise from God. He died before that promise was seen, but God kept his promise. Look at David. David was given a promise that someone of his descendants will sit on the throne of God forever. And all we have to do is keep reading and you'll find out it wasn't Solomon. No, it wasn't him. And it wasn't one of his other sons. But it was one by the name of Jesus Christ who came through the lineage of David. And because he came through the lineage of David, he was the fulfilled promise of God. He was the fulfilled promise of one who would sit on the throne forever. All you got to know is that God is a promise keeper. And every time he gives a promise, he will keep that promise. He will keep his word no matter what. He'll never fail on a promise. He'll never fail in his word. And his word will last as long as we'll be alive. His word will last and never fade away. His word is true. And his words are yes and amen. All we have to do is understand that we've got the promise keeper. That donkey was riding with the promise keeper on his back. The promise keeper was there to keep a promise that had been given. And that promise was being fulfilled as he rode through the city, because the promise had been given years ago and years before he ever came into the world, that he would be the Messiah, that the Messiah would ride through on a donkey, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin called Mary, that the Messiah would come. And as the Messiah has come, now the Messiah is there riding to the town victorious. The Messiah is there riding in peace. The Messiah is there riding in victory, and all because God had made a promise. He is the promise. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the King of kings and the Lords of lords. He is the great I am. He is the mighty one. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the great I am. He is the promised seed that would crush the head of Satan. He is the promised one. We present him for who he is. When you're telling people who Jesus is, tell them he's the one who can bring peace in their life. Tell them he's the one that can bring them victory. Tell them he's the one who can give them what they've been looking for, and that is that promise of heaven, that promise of eternal life. He is the promise keeper. And as I close, I want you to understand that as Jesus entered the city, he was really entering into an appointment with death. As he was riding in on that donkey, that silent participant, he was riding to an appointment with death. It would be a few days later here on this Sunday, it would be called Palm Sunday. We are celebrating the beginning of Holy Week. We're celebrating the beginning of Jesus' passion journey, celebrating the last week of Jesus' life. But it starts with a glorious celebration called Palm Sunday, where Jesus was riding in as the promised Messiah. He was riding in as the one who God has sent to take away the sins of the world. He's riding in as the one that God has sent to redeem all of humanity. He's riding in to do the work of God, but he has a silent participant with him. And this silent participant is riding with Jesus, and he's riding Jesus into town. He's riding Jesus into his glory. He's riding Jesus to a destiny with death. And I'm so glad that he's riding to the destiny of death, because what it means to us is he's riding to a destiny of death. It's a destiny of life for us. It means that as he goes to his death, we are going to have life. As he goes to his death, we're going to be blessed. And yes, I know it sounds bad to say that I'm glad he went to the cross at Calvary. But if he had not went to the cross at Calvary, you'll still be lost in your sin. If he had not went to the cross of Calvary, you would die and not have a chance. If he had not gone to the cross at Calvary, you would not have eternal life. If he had not gone to the cross at Calvary, you would not have an opportunity to be right with God. You would not have the opportunity to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ covering you. You will not have the right or the opportunity to have the blood of Jesus wash over you, making you whiter than snow. You will not have the opportunity to be blessed the way that you are if he had not gone to the cross at Calvary. So I'm glad that that donkey rode him to his destiny with death. And I'm glad that the donkey rode him to his destiny with death, that they shouted Hosanna in the highest, that they shouted Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of God, Hosanna to the King King of Kings. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna. I'm so glad they shouted that day, because early Sunday morning, there's another reason to shout. Early Sunday morning, there's another reason to get excited. Early Sunday morning, there's another reason to give him praise, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords.
Yes, you are, God. Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that he rode to his destiny so that we could have a destiny.
Thank you, God.
Because if it had not been for Jesus, we don't stand a chance. There was a silent participant. He taught us to fulfill our role. He taught us that the celebration is Jesus that we celebrate. And he taught us that we've got to make sure that we present Jesus for who he is. It's not about you presenting yourself. It's not about getting glory for you, but it's getting glory for the Father and presenting Jesus for who he is. He is the peace giver. He's the victorious one. He's the Lamb of God, the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Redeemer of our souls. And we ought to shout and thank God for all the work that he's done. We ought to shout and thank God for the great love that he's given us through his son Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that this message was a blessing to you. If it was, drop us an email at wesleyonmain@yahoo.com. That's wesleyonmain@yahoo.com to let us know how this message has touched your life. Until next time, God bless.